Pastor Chris Gordon beginning today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
He determines how many breaths you have. He put a ticker in your chest that'll stop one day. And in the time that you live, he says, come to me. And I'm going to raise up that body brand new at the new creation and the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell forever. Understand that this suffering, which is but for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. The sons of God are going to be revealed.
Hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We continue our series on the plagues of lice and men. This is the plague of the flies, the gnats, the lice. And as we begin our time together today, we're reminded of the fact that when you think so highly of yourself that you bring in the judgment of God, you might want to start rethinking how high you really are. Here's Pastor Chris with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
If he failed the Pharaoh, then they believe Egypt would return back to chaos and be destroyed. Now that's relevant. That's really relevant for this. They believe they could control the universe. You understand that? They were desperately trying to control creation for their glory. All chaos, they believe they could control. They were desperately trying to control order and universe to keep everything in balance, harmony, and promote their fulfilled happiness and their bodies, cleanliness. Everything was to be perfect. Everything for the maintenance of a happy, fulfilled, prosperous, healthy life in Egypt. Does any of this sound familiar? They were obsessed with this. We know this. What is one of the greatest threats to our happiness? Disorder. Disorder in the universe. This is an obsession in our day. We're all trying to maintain Ma'at, the principle of it, with a great desire that we would have a platform to fulfill happiness and contribute to the common good. I couldn't believe the other day, and I mean this, I couldn't believe the other day that I read somebody who is trying to live the principle of Ma'at. And she used the term Ma'at. Personally, she says, I see living in Ma'at as trying to keep everything in balance in my life. Tell me if this sounds any bit familiar. I see it as being true to myself. I see it as the ability to make a compromise in a particular situation, just so everyone's happy and content. To me, keeping Ma'at can boil down to doing simple things for a greater good. I want to emphasize that, greater good. That's what Ma'at really emphasized. I can do small things to ensure good things are being maintained and flourish. To me, things like injustice and oppression are agents of Isfit. I can always fight these things. They happen all over the world, and I may not even know where or when it's happening. But hardships can happen to people I know and care for, or they can happen to me. That's where I can and most likely will do something about it. That's where my personal battle is. That's what I can say. That's it, Isfet. I'm going to execrate the daylights out of you. Let me give you just a bit of, and I'm not assaulting here the desire and right desire for order. I'm not assaulting the right desire for things to be calm and peaceful. We all want that. We all really want that. I want that for my children. I want a society that's that. But I'm going after spirit. Here's the spirit. Today in America, a teacher spent extra time with a student who needed it. And her part to lift America's graduation rate to its highest level in more than three decades. An entrepreneur flipped on the lights in her tech startup and did her part, there it is, to add to the more than 8 million new jobs our businesses have created over the past 4 years. An auto worker fine-tuned some of the best, most efficient cars in the world and did his part to help America wean itself off foreign oil. A man took the bus home from the graveyard shift, bone tired, but dreaming big dreams for his son. Here are the results of your efforts. The lowest unemployment rate in over 5 years. a rebounding housing market, a manufacturing sector that's adding jobs for the first time since the 1990s, more oil produced at home than we buy from the rest of the world. The first time that's happened in nearly 20 years. Our deficits cut by more than half. And for the first time in over a decade, business leaders around the world have declared that China is no longer the world's number one place to invest. America is. That's what most Americans want. For all of us in this chamber to focus on their lives, their hopes, their aspirations. This is the America we want for our kids. A rising America where honest work is plentiful and communities are strong, where prosperity is widely shared. An opportunity for us lets us go as far as our dreams and toil will take us. But if we work together, if we summon what is best in us, with all our feet planted firmly in today, but our eyes cast towards tomorrow, I know it's within our reach. That's our presidential address. The common good, fulfill your dreams, it's all within our reach. Mott, we can achieve it. I want to say to the young people, because I hear it all the time, don't buy into it. Christians are taught to say something entirely different. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. We will build this or that. And this principle so dominates society. In some way, we're all desperately fighting for ma'at, here and now, the glory now. We're trying to control the order of things to maintain our happiness. Egyptians were obsessed with this. It's hedonism. You see what God was doing here now. All of a sudden, he sends upon them lice. He unleashed creation back on them. It was confronting, and he was confronting their basic understanding of who controlled the world. We don't control the world. He was confronting their basic understanding of who keeps the universe in order, who lets the oceans and assigns to the oceans their bounds so that they can't go further. Who does that? They say that a volcano, when it erupts, releases thousands of cubic feet of greenhouse gases. Over the past 250 years, humans have added just one part of CO2 in 10,000 to the atmosphere. One volcano cough can do this in a day. This would be like a volcano erupting on Earth Day. Oh, wait, it just happened. Calbuco Mountain in Chile erupted on Earth Day and unleashed thousands of tons of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. It's just an example. We're not in control. We're not in control. Their gods were said to keep harmony in the universe, and Pharaoh controlled stability as their leader. And isn't it something that the Lord has control over all creation? That in a minute, in just a finger, he can reverse things and pull out the carpet from under our paper palace and it falls. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Who determines our days, when we live, where we go, the boundaries of our dwellings? You know, even Acts says, the boundaries of where you live, you don't decide. Your life and your days are all numbered. You don't have control of much of anything. Creation was an entire polemic against these gods. Did you know that? That's why creation is read so incorrectly today. We want to make it a debate about days and things, and you just wreck the beauty of it. It's a polemic against all the false gods saying, your God made these things, and it should lead you in the Psalms to the praise of his name. Your God formed, your God fashioned, your God made these things, your God spoke and it was, your God gave you life. Your God, the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who loves you, your God. The lie of the devil in Genesis 3 was you can be your own and you can fulfill your great determinations for yourself and be your own God. Here comes chaos. His people need to be freed because the reality is here, dear Christians, we have no continuing city. We don't belong here. We got to get out. The lie is that you do have a city here. And Satan will give you a glorious one. I found an account of a secular writer that stunned me this week. Listen to this. Once upon a time, there lived a man who wanted to achieve everything he was capable of achieving. He was obsessed with this desire. He ate, slept, walked with one and one only dream: to die having accomplished every single thing he was able to accomplish. There were so many things he could do. He felt like the whole world could be his if only he set his mind to it. He was certain, in fact, he knew that his potential had no limits. Time went by, and he grew older. One day, a sudden chest pain made him come home early. He dragged his feet into the bathroom. There, feeling weak and empty, he looked in the mirror. A worn-out, gray-haired man stared back at him. But his eyes, though red and tired, were still full of unrealized potential. He peered into these eyes and all of a sudden realized one simple truth. The next moment, the pain pierced his heart again, and it stopped. The truth that came upon him was rather simple. People only flatter themselves by thinking they could have achieved this or that, if not for such and such circumstances. At any given moment, as long as you've been healthy and haven't been thrown into the midst of war, crime, or forces of nature, you always achieve everything you can. You simply lack something that is necessary for achieving that goal you never reached: a talent, a skill, willpower, a set of priorities, or something else. Like it or not, realize it or not, believe it or not, but you simply lack it. You just think you've got what it takes, and only these insurmountable difficulties have prevented you from reaching the ultimate heights. Here it is. But in reality, what you don't achieve is something you were never capable of achieving. That's tough. A tough pill for the world to swallow. Because they're driven by Ma'at, that idolatry. Now, what's interesting is that for the first time, the magicians realize it. They are powerless to recreate this one. And I don't believe it was recreation, by the way, ever. In verse 18, now the magicians so worked their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Isn't it interesting which plague puts an end to their enchantments and their magic tricks? Their plague having to do with dust. Dust. God said something about the dust, didn't he? From dust you were taken, to dust you shall return. They, when it came to the dust, can do nothing. God's telling us something. God is telling us that not only do we go back to the dust, but little specks of dust can never fight against God. Have you noticed that they say this? They look at Pharaoh and they say, Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They just conceded that what they are dealing with is so far above them in power, they can no longer contend with it. They confess whatever they are in the presence of, it's too powerful for them, and Pharaoh, it's his finger. How remarkable they chose the little phrase, finger of God, isn't it? You say, well, what did that mean? What did that mean? What is the finger of God in this context? It's this. Some of them said, he's casting out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Others testing him, saw it from him, a sign from heaven. Give us something. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come on you. There he is in Pharaoh's kingdom. He's marched into his palace, cast down a snake, and he lifts his finger to say one message when we put the whole story together. The kingdom of God just came upon Pharaoh's kingdom. And by that finger, the finger of Christ that day who was there, he lifted his finger and there came the lice. By that finger, all creation is upheld. Do you understand that? Colossians tells us all things were created through Jesus Christ and for him. And he is before all things and him in all things and holds all things together. Do you see that? The principle of Ma'at is his principle. He holds it. He controls it. He's the one holding the world right now with his finger. But there's even more to this. When Moses received the law of God, and God had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony were handed to him. And you know what it said? Israel would have picked this up. They were written with the finger of God. He's the lawgiver. David was so moved by this in Psalm 8 that he says, when I consider the works of your fingers, he says, think about Psalm 8, the stars, all those were your finger you created. And then I think that you gave a law. It's his finger that says what is so. And it's with that finger that he wrote down in the first commandment, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. I made it. I command your lives. No other gods. Here was Egypt trying to erect a kingdom of false gods and control the universe. Do you see it? Do you see what the kingdoms of this world do? God says, I want you free. The other night, I read this passage to my children. And I said to him, I said, well, you guys, when you hear the finger of God, what do you think? And my son said, Dad, God could even defeat his enemies with his finger. You got it. You got it. That finger upholds all things. It's that finger that judges all things. And when he wrote his law, he said that he should be your God. If he's not your God, that finger casts into hell. But if he's your God, that finger invites you to come to him and have life and enjoy his preserving care in your lives. You understand that? His preserving care. Our president, our kingdom, the United States can't do that for us. With that finger, he raised up a multitude no man can number, like the dust of the earth, like he promised to Abraham. Dust. I love this. That gives me such perspective in life, that Christ has all creation at his disposal to do with it what he wants. And it is absolutely true, boys and girls, you can sing. He's got that whole world in his hand. You were created for his glory. And how much has he loved you? He's not waving that finger in judgment to you today. He's waving that finger and he's turned it, saying, come in kindness. God is pictured here as reversing creation on those who don't believe. But he wants you to know today That that's what this plague is about. And for those who don't have him, that's what the plagues in Revelation tell us. He's doing against those who take a stand against the Lord and against his anointed. Christ is Lord over all. And today, all of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of you, the sons of God, to come in. Where have you put your trust? Who have you bowed to? We don't control Maat. You're not in control of your life. You're not in control of what you're going to do, how successful you're going to be. Don't buy into that lie that if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. That stuff is from the pit of hell. Your days are numbered. He determines how many breaths you have. He put a ticker in your chest that'll stop one day. And in the time that you live, he says, come to me. And I'm going to raise up that body brand new at the new creation and the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell forever. I'm going to do that for you. Understand that this suffering, which is but for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. The sons of God are going to be revealed. The tragedy of this is that Pharaoh, seeing the finger of God, his heart grew hard. I hope no one's heart grows hard hearing this. But that they, seeing the powerful finger of Christ, have turned to him and know him and love him and have come to understand that when you come to him, he says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. What better hands could you ever be in than those?
Pay me now or pay me later, as the old ad said. You can either trust in yourself or trust in God. And as we're seeing today, those of Egypt who trusted in themselves and the Pharaoh, well, they didn't fare so well. And you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment to close out our time together today with a word of prayer. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start. agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. 8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small, no gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Lord, we have for a long time put our trust in princes. For a long time put our trust in kings, wanting a kingdom of this world to supply our happiness. And while we're thankful that you rule through men, while we're thankful that you do preserve order and harmony, we say that it's you that preserves those things. We can't do that. Our greatness is fading. Our greatness is gone tomorrow like a flower in the field. But you, O Lord, live and endure forever, and your word lives and endures forever. And today, O Christ, we're so thankful that you uphold all things, that you, with your powerful hand and finger, control creation, and that one day you will renew all things. Let us put our confidence in you. Forgive us for the idolatry of trying to control our lives. May we come to you, O Lord, take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow, and enjoy the peaceful life that you give us, knowing, as we heard from Colossians, all of our sins are forgiven. And knowing, as you said, you've canceled the record of debt so that our joy can be fulfilled. And in that confidence, to our great sovereign creator and redeemer, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Well, tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, we continue the plagues and the theme of insects, Lord of the Flies. That's tomorrow on Abounding Grace. Join us then. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.